Hey, this is Carrie from Wrap Your Head Around Silks. This is the Expecting Arielle's podcast, now with the Digitent Network. How's it going, guys? Hope you're having an amazing week. Before we get started, lots of stuff happening at Wrap Your Head Around Silks. Silks One teacher training, fully virtual, starts April the 1st. Registration is open. I would love to be your virtual teacher. Oh, what would you like to say, Bean?
I just heard the way it was almost doing it without me.
I almost did the recording without you. Good thing you came in and checked on us. Roll It Out, which is our virtual 60-minute class, Monday and Thursday evenings. We hit the mat, we roll, you get a free 4-inch ball just for signing up. So I'd love to interact with you there. It's Zoom, it's super easy, and it's a wonderful part of your recovery. All right, today, this is Nicole Harvey. She is back because the last time we talked about her three girls being in Ariel Silks at the Loft and how she found it herself. She is now coming up on a year of training and she is thriving. It's amazing. But she also has Crohn's disease, something she has struggled with since she was 19 years old. And I wanted to bring her on here to talk about what it is. I mean, it affects so many people and not everybody likes to talk about it. And of course, it's going to affect all of the things you do in your life, including Ariel, including any of the activity, exercise you do, because it's a brutal disease that the people who have it, they have to manage it on a daily basis. So,
Mom,
yeah.
I will talk.
What would you like to say to the listeners? Okay. All right, guys, let's get started.
It's been a day.
In what way?
All my kids are homesick. They got like a stomach bug or something and throwing up all night long. So
all three of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All at the same time. It was like one and then the other and then like just all of them. Hi, Bean.
You want to say hi to Harvey?
I wish Kelly was here.
Oh, don't tell her that. Kelly is the co-host for Greener Grass. Hey, you're going to make her feel bad. What?
That's okay. You know her better. You don't know me.
So Harvey, did the two get it from one or did they all get it?
No, I think Hannah, the youngest, got it first because she was homesick on Friday. And then Maddie stayed home yesterday. And then I think Brinley got it, but it's been lingering. Like, I don't know what the heck. It's been since like December. Like they got COVID and then the cough and the, you know, cold. And like, I'm just like, this sick season is ridiculous.
Yeah. And there's too many things for them to get now. It's COVID. The stomach bug is really going around. Like,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. And then I heard, you know, everyone, they're saying like, you know, we're all home for COVID and we're like in our little bubbles and our immune systems weren't exposed to things. And now we're just getting hit.
So yesterday I got a text from the preschool and at like an hour before she was supposed to come home, she was a little weepy and lethargic and she wanted to come home.
Aww.
She's only been in preschool for 2.5 weeks. So this is the first time for that's happened. So I was actually at a Starbucks like a minute away anyway,
because
that's the Starbucks I like to plop myself down at.
Yeah.
And so I got her and I'm sure you know this feeling like the moment I saw her, we locked eyes and the tears started pouring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It usually happens.
Once they
see you. Yeah.
Brought her home. She didn't really say why she wanted to go home. She's just like, I don't want to be here anymore. And then, boom, in exactly 2 hours, her temperature was at 100.
It's so sad. And it's like, they were just, you know, there's not anything for you can do for like the stomach thing because it's like medicine. They can't keep it down.
Well, it was just a fever. Ugh. It was just a fever.
Is it gone today?
Yes.
That's good.
It broke.
That's good.
Yeah. Last night wasn't exactly super smooth though because it went away and then it came back because, you know, we're doing a little Tylenol. But
yeah.
She's definitely like, and she's always in the bed with us. Mm-hmm. Like she's like a little hot little sausage
heater
in the bed. Mm-hmm. she's hot.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Yeah.
So the kids are sicky. I don't think it's just us.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I and it's funny because my husband like woke up at some, he's such a deep sleeper and he's getting over bronchitis. So he took medicine to like sleep, to help him sleep. So he at one point woke up when one of them came in and was like, what's going on? And I was like, they're all throwing up. And then I walk out of the bedroom and I swear like 2 seconds later, I hear him snoring, like completely passed out this morning. I was like, what the hell, James? He's like, I took NyQuil or something to sleep. Like I was out. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Like I got it. I got them all.
Thanks for the assistance. Yeah. But they're not being sage. So are they capable of like throwing up in the bathroom?
They are now. Although I did like give them bowls because it was like so sudden. Like they didn't make it a couple times. So I did, you know, and I get that peace of mind thing too, I think, like having that safety net there. But for the most part, they can make it.
Well, I just had the only stomach bug I've had for 10 years because I didn't have beans. So she had her first stomach bug last year. And I mean, when I got it, it was like I got the urge and it came out of my mouth in 5 seconds.
Yeah, like you had there's no notice. Yeah, not fun. I'm like, great. this is fun.
And how are you feeling? Is your immune system like a rock?
No, and I just had my shot on Sunday. I get a shot every 8 weeks. To like, you know, like calm my immune system down. So I just had that on Sunday too. So I'm like, please, please don't get sick. Like I'm washing my hands.
Oh, that's right. And that's why we're here.
Yeah. I'm like doing all the things. I'm, oh man, crossing my fingers. I'm just tired because I was up all night. So I'm just tired. But.
Oh my God, I'm with you. Yeah. Like I don't know if she's getting a regular cold, but then she's like, I can't breathe through my nose. And of course it's not fully, it's just like maybe one side.
Yeah, but it's uncomfortable.
And so like half, mm-hmm. and like, so we're up in the middle of the night trying to sniff Tiger Balm and Vicks mm-hmm. and like, she's like a hot sausage rolling around on me.
You're
and
not
like,
sleeping. No.
No. Okay. No. We're here. Mm-hmm. See, this is like the conversations are more and more and more like this.
Yeah. Therapy. Like I have my tea. This is therapy.
Yes. And we're here because I wanted to talk to Harvey. She was on last year, meaning 2023, talking about taking her first aerial class, and now she's 6 to 8 months in.
No.
Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I'll be a year in March. I looked it up, so I'm like close to a year.
You're close to a year. Yeah. This is so exciting. She's my student. I see her every Friday night, which is great. She told me during that episode that she suffers from Crohn's disease. It also went away during her prenatal phase, which is why she doesn't mind being pregnant.
Oh, not at all. Although I'm done with that.
So, yeah, totally. But we are going to learn all about Crohn's disease today and then also how it affects you on a daily basis, how it affects maybe how it changes Ariel for you when you're in there and we don't know it. So if you could, because I actually don't know very much about it at all. I have IBS and all the things that come along with that. But Crohn's disease is in a category by itself.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's an IBD thing.
IBD,
irritable bowel disease, like.
Oh, it is, but it's an autoimmune.
Yeah, So basically what it is your like immune system mistakenly attacks and destroys healthy like body tissues. So it inflames and then it doesn't stop. Like it'll just keep being inflamed and that's the problem. But I looked it up because I was like, how does it differ from like colitis like you see? And apparently with Crohn's, like your whole stomach can be in pain. And with UC, like it's a specific area, I guess. So I guess they're pretty similar. Just the areas of pain are a little bit different. So I was kind of did a little research on that. Cause I was like, I have no idea what the differences between those are. But yeah, basically it's just an inflammation thing.
And it's the entire gut. It's not necessarily one part.
Yeah, your whole stomach can hurt. And that's like how I got diagnosed. I think I was 19 and I think I ate pizza or something, and like it just pain, like all like just pain, and then it wouldn't go away, and it was terrible, and I ended up going to the hospital, and they did, I think they did like a CT. I don't know what else, I remember what else they did. They put me on a bunch of medicines, and then they ended up doing a colonoscopy, and that's kind of how they can kind of diagnose it, like all the inflammation in your intestines and stuff. And then so I was on, you know, steroids and, you know, all the things for quite a while. It does, my symptoms do go away when I'm pregnant, which is amazing. It's like, it's the best thing ever. So I'm like, love being pregnant. But it's like just pain. It's pain, and it's not something that's going to go away. It's something that you just gotta like live with and adapt your life to. I don't know. And it's constantly changing. So I'm still trying to figure out stuff.
When you were 19, was it a relief to have a diagnosis?
You know, yes and no, because before that, like, night that I had the pain, I didn't have problems. Like, I didn't. Because a lot of people, like, you'll have diarrhea. Like, that's a huge thing. Like, stomach pains, diarrhea, your certain foods, like, trigger that response. But I didn't have any of that. Like, so it was just like, I was hurt and I was in the hospital and then I got a diagnosis, so it wasn't like a huge relief. I was just kind of like, I was glad for the pain to be gone, but, it's not something that I love having. I feel like saying like, welcome to the shit show kind of like, it's just,
oh yeah, literally.
Yeah. It's not the funnest thing to have, but like when I'm in remission, when I don't have any, like active disease, like per se, it's manageable for the most part.
Yeah. Because I had IBS forever. Mm-hmm. And then later on, somebody put a name to it. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel validated because I was like, I'm not like other people.
Yeah.
Or at least not normal people.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people with IBS. I know that now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Crohn's disease. So it's a poo-poo thing too. So it's like it's a diarrhea thing.
Poo-poo.
So yeah, poo-poo. We're talking about poo-poo.
Why?
Why not?
Yeah. So like it's just pain, and then are you like feeling better after things come out?
No.
Oh.
No, it's not a relief. Like, it's not, you don't go to the bathroom and it's a relief, because it's not like the poop that is the problem. It's your intestines are inflamed, so that's where the pain comes from. So no, it's not a relief. So, I mean, when I'm having a flare up, I'm in pain. Like my stomach hurts. Like I'll just like because it did get really bad at one point before I had my youngest, it got really bad. Like I don't think I had the best doctor at that point. I was in pain. I would be like on a heating pad. Like I would just put a heating pad on my stomach. Like your appetite goes away because you don't want to eat because everything hurts. So when you're in a flare up, you usually lose a lot of weight. You can get anemic. You just look sick, you know, you just got that like black eyes, you're just not healthy. But it's like, and you're fatigued, you know, because you're not eating and you feel like crap. But I did get really bad before Hannah, my youngest. And I ended up going, the doctor that I had at the time, the Crohn's doctor, he was basically like, I don't know what to do for you anymore. Like, I don't know what to do. Like the medicine's not working. So I ended up going to Cedars has an IBD center. They have the whole, you know, all the doctors there specialize in the IBD stuff. And so I got a doctor there and he was amazing. And I ended up having to go to a surgeon. And what had happened was because I was pregnant, And I was getting some weird stuff, like kind of like, oh, this is so gross, but this is Crohn's. Like, it's just, it's not pretty. Like, I thought I was passing like meconium, like, you know, like when the baby poops and stuff. I thought I was like, the baby was pooping and I was worried because I was like close to being, you know, ready to deliver her. It turns out like it was a fistula, which is what the surgeon found after doing, you know, all these crazy MRIs. And at the time, like I was going to the bathroom all the time. I was peeing all the time. Like I was miserable. And they did all these like special tests and I had developed a fistula, which is like an abnormal opening between two body parts. So basically like the poop was coming out where it shouldn't have come out. Cause it had created this like tunnel, like
into another organ.
Yeah. Like it was just coming out the vagina. And so I had to have,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was. And I even went to like, I went to the labor and delivery at one point. Cause I was like, this isn't normal. I thought it had to do with the baby and all of them are like,
oh my God, you could get an infection so easily.
Right. And I was, it was painful. Like I was using like Desitin and stuff and like
yesterday
just standing.
Was a disaster.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
What happened, Bean?
Yesterday was a disaster and my tummy was bad and I was sleeping and I got back home and the teacher called my mom.
Well, today can be better.
And you had a fever yesterday?
Okay.
Yeah, yesterday was a disaster.
Yeah.
Right, Bean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's no fun.
Oh, little Bean. Oh, my God. So basically, the membrane between your vaginal canal and your rectum, there's an opening.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fistula that created an opening. And I had to have surgery. I forget how old Hannah was. She was still a baby. That was like,
so you had the baby first.
Yeah, I had to have her first, and which was fine anyways, because it took a little time to get all the tests done and, you know, like all the prep for surgery. And then I had it in like the beginning of 2019 and they went in and I remember being so scared because they're like, well, we don't know how extensive it's going to be when we get in there. There's a chance you might have to have like a colostomy bag and, you know what those are, right? The bag, like,
yeah, like, so you're pooping on the outside of yourself.
Yeah, and I remember being like, oh my God, I don't want that. Like, please. So I went in, and I remember waking up and my husband was sitting there and I remember like coming out of this like anesthesia haze, right? And you're not like really coherent, trying to be like, did I get a bag? But like, I'm trying to say it, but my words must not have been like coming out right. So I remember like patting my stomach, trying to like figure out like, did I have to have the colostomy bag? And I didn't. Thank goodness. It wasn't too bad. Like they fixed it quicker than.
But if you have the bag, how long is that?
Well, they had said like, you know, they could put it like it would have been a thing like where they would have done like temporary. So like my stuff could heal and then they could reverse it. But who knows? I mean, there are people, I know people who have to have a lot of their intestines removed and then they do have the colostomy bag. And that's not a temporary thing. You know, it is.
I have never heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It depends how much disease, like how bad the disease has made your intestines, about how much they have to take out of your intestines. And if they have to take out a lot, then you have to have that. So luckily mine wasn't too much. So they took out what they needed to, you know, take out, fix the fistula. I've got like a scar from like my belly button down. And after that, like, it was great. Like, I felt so much better because it was terrible before then. And I've been pretty good since then.
And she's six.
She's six now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And is six. So 6 years of remission. So, mm-hmm. Okay. So I've never heard this story, and I've been talking about poop my whole life.
I mean, it's not something I like to broadcast.
No, this is like, no, like, it's so important.
Yeah, it's like a gross thing that I'm like, I've got this crap disease, basically, you know, and like stuff came out where it should.
I talk about poop constantly because it's like a daily thing when you have when you have an IBS type of situation happening, because your body just like doesn't want to act normal.
And my tummy was hurting yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Your tummy was hurting, but mama's belly is so much worse than yours all the time, right?
Tummy yeah. aches can hurt, so and then they can go away.
Sometimes we're out and my body will like on a dime, like I need to go, yeah. right? And it'll be random.
And I have to go too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she, a couple times, she's really fought with me. And I'm like, we cannot do this. Like, I need to go to the bathroom now. And so now when I say I have to go, she gets right up and she goes, Mama, you don't want to have an accident. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing with Crohn's too. And my husband was always like, cause I would be like, I need to go to the bathroom now. And he'd be like, are you like going to be like, cause we have one bathroom. We have one bathroom in our house. We're like, there's
what?
Yeah. It's crazy. We actually have a bathroom we're building like right around the corner. It's got walls. Like I'm hoping in the next month or so might be done, but we have one. So I'll be like, James, I need you to get out now. Like now. And he was always like, how can you have to go like that fast? And I'm like, it's, you know, it's just, that's part of the disease. And even my Crohn's doctor was like, your stuff changes. Like you don't have, like after surgery, you don't have that part where it's broken down. Like it has something to do with the bile. Like he's like, your urgency to go is much quicker. And like, same thing, like a lot of times I'm like, I have to go and it's now, like it's now or I'm going to have an accident. And like, to be completely honest, I have had accidents like where I've been.
Oh, I have too.
I'm like, yeah, you know, I can be like 5 minutes from home driving and I've had it like, I can't make it. I can't make it. Like I walked to get Hannah from school one day from my parents' house. She was literally around the corner from the school and speed walked because I'm like, oh my gosh, got her and couldn't yeah. make it back yeah. home. Like it's happens. Like it's just, and that's part of the thing. Like you have no notice sometimes. It's just now.
Yeah. And it's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's just your feet. Oh my God, the amount of poop dreams that I've had, like, because, you know, like your feeling of control, mm-hmm. right? Your feeling of wanting to control things. I think a lot of my like control issues come from this because it's like such a natural body function.
Natural.
Yeah.
And you cannot control it. I have different problems. I've got like, esophagitis, I've got gastroenteritis, and then I've got.
My tummy hurts.
Oh my God, speaking of. I know. She's got constipation right now.
Aww.
I know. This is so fun. So, and then I got testing because basically when I was a little tiny infant, they had to do rectal surgery on me because the doctor believes that my rectum wasn't completely open.
Yeah.
So when they did the snip, mm-hmm. it didn't completely grow back, and the rubber band that's supposed to be the rectum doesn't close all the way.
Was in your belly?
No, you were in my belly later, but my poop still doesn't work very well. So we're not going to call the Crohn's disease episode. We're going to call it the poo-poo episode.
Might as well.
Just poo-poo talk.
I think we need the medicine.
You think we need medicine?
Yeah.
Bean, listen, let me finish the poopoo talk, okay? Can I keep on going?
No, I think we need the medicine.
You need medicine for you or I need medicine for me?
For me.
Oh, for you. Okay. So, wait, I need to go back to this birth of Hannah.
Give me my medicine.
No, you don't need medicine right now, Bean. You have no more fever. The Tylenol's for your fever. You got to let me record. Come on.
I like the Tylenol.
All right. Now you like Tylenol. It's taken 4 years. I've had to like force it down her throat before and then it was such a thing. Mm-hmm. But now she can take like there's one for you can't take as a baby where it just tastes like sugary grape sugar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you put it like on your tongue and then and she likes that one.
Yeah.
So the thing is luckily by the time you had Hannah, you had already had two children via vaginal delivery, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So you have what Dr. Janae calls a proven pelvis.
Yeah.
I would, if it were me and I had a fistula between my organs there, I would be worried about giving birth. Were you?
Um, No, you know what? No, because I'm sorry. I already had her by the time I realized that that was going on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because I knew there was a problem, but I didn't know it was a fistula until after I had her.
Okay, so you knew there's a problem, but you didn't figure it out, or they didn't find out.
Right.
So now looking back in hindsight, do you feel like the fistula like affected the labor in any way?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Okay. And I mean, like, it's not like I wasn't looking down there. So who knows what came out, you know, when I was giving birth to her. It's possible that there was something funky. They didn't say anything, though. And it wasn't constant. Like, it wasn't like a continual stream. It was like every now and then. So maybe it didn't happen during labor. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of the tissue, like the pain. You know what I'm saying?
I had an epidural.
Just in pain?
No.
You had an epidural.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I didn't feel any other pain. I mean, I was done being pregnant. Like her pregnancy was rough on me. And like my doctor had even said, like, hey, is this your, my Crohn's doctor was like, is this your last pregnancy?
How about we go to the mall?
Listen, you just had a fever yesterday. We're not going to the mall. Oh my God. Can you let her talk? She's telling me something.
But I really want to go to the mall.
You really want to do something and not be sick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, me too. This is your last pregnancy, right? And I was like, yes, that will be done. Because they're like, you know, you shouldn't carry anymore. Which I had planned on being done at 3 anyways. But no, I wasn't worried about it. I was ready for her to be out. I think it got more severe after. I had her, and like I said, but the Crohn's doctor I had before, he was not good. So I think it went on longer than it should have. I had been at the Cedars doctor, which I love that clinic. They're great. I just actually had to change doctors because the one that I had gotten before moved to like San Diego or something. So I saw a new doctor there and I loved him as well. So it's a great clinic. If anybody needs a doctor there.
Well, I mean, Cedars-Sinai, they have their, like, motility department. They have a whole, like, the guy who's the foremost researcher on SIBO, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, mm-hmm. is at Cedars.
Really? Funny, my daughter has that.
Goodness. Mine is in remission. My SIBO is way under control right
really?
Now.
Really? I'll have to.
Actually, yeah.
Okay. I'll have to get advice from you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of stuff going on because the gastroenteritis plus the acid reflux because of the esophagitis and then the SIBO. It's just fun in there, you know?
Yeah, that's super
but
fun.
But I'm very controlled right now. I'm very managed right now compared to what I was. So here's my thing. So did you ever in that space of time, did you end up getting any UTIs? Did you get infections because it was going into the wrong space?
No, which is surprising because you would totally think it would.
Yes.
But I didn't. And it's really surprising. But I just remember spending a lot of time in the shower or like a bath just to try to get relief because it was so painful. And no, I didn't get any. That's so weird. I didn't. I guess I got lucky because that could have been really, really not good.
What is your treatment journey been over your lifetime? And what is it now?
Okay. So I've been on and off steroids. When I'm in like a flare up, I have to take steroids. And then it's immunosuppressants. So I've tried quite a few to get to ones that worked. I've done Humira, I've done Remicade, I'm currently on Stelara. So I get a shot of that every 8 weeks and that is working for me and I'm hoping it continues to work. And other than that, I don't have anything right other than that shot that I have to take. I take my vitamins, probiotics, there are certain foods I have to avoid that can trigger a flare-up, so I avoid that.
What are those foods for you?
All the bad stuff. Pizza, okay. Like pasta sauce. I can't, like red sauce is terrible. And like anything fried is really bad. Coffee kind of did it. So I cut out coffee a year ago. Sometimes sugar can do it as well, which I have a really hard time with the sugar. But yeah, kind of just the bad stuff. Oh, and anything that's like hard to digest, like salad, like lettuce or any like raw vegetables, those don't go well. Oh, and lately I've been like kind of playing with dairy too. Sometimes I think that dairy is not doing well for me. So it's kind of hit and miss with that. So I'm not sure quite how the dairy's doing. So like yogurt and stuff. But yeah, and then I have to get pretty frequent colonoscopies to make sure everything's still okay.
Ugh.
You know what though? I will say like it's not the most fun thing, but it's not. At this point, I've done so many that it's just like, it's just more of an annoyance. Like, you know, I have to do the prep the day before, which means I'm on the toilet. You're like peeing out of your butt, you know, like it's just for a day. And then you, the next day you have to like, you know, get the anesthesia, like, or whatever medicine they give you like out. So it's like 2 days of just putting your stuff on pause and like dedicating to that. But I don't mind it too much anymore. There's like been worse stuff. So if like I'm doing that, whatever. And it's just to like take a look inside and make sure that the disease is not progressing because they want to catch it before it gets bad again, right? Which makes sense to me. So I've got one in April scheduled. And then they kind of stagger them out. So if this one's good, then I think I can go a couple years, maybe if I'm remembering correctly, before the next one. Cause it was like 6 months after my surgery, I had one and then it was like every year or so. So that's kind of it. And then like, I am, like have to know where bathrooms are basically. Like I plot things out before I go anywhere and have to know like, you know, where all the bathrooms are, like, ask me where all the bathrooms are at Disneyland. Cause I know them, like I know where they are and, how many bathrooms are, and like, are they quickly accessible? Like I have to know, like, so I will prep before I go anywhere to know, because, you know, I need to like calm myself down because it's such a bathroom anxiety, like, you know, that I'm going to have to go and there's nowhere to go. And, that's like the worst feeling. Oh my gosh. I was in New York visiting a friend once and,
oh, Manhattan's hard.
Oh, and it was like, before Christmas time. So I think we were, where were we? By where the tree is.
Rockefeller.
Yeah, we were over there and I all of a sudden had to go. And, you know, New York is not like, it's not like they're everywhere. I remember we like were by an FAO Schwartz or something and went in and had to find where the bathroom was and it was crowded. And then there was a line. There was a huge line for the women's and I had to like ask if I could cut the line. And then it was just, it was like very traumatic.
Yeah, it's anxiety. Yeah. It's trauma. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, it's terrible.
You're having a panic inside.
Yeah, I'm like literally sweating and freaking out that I'm not going to be able to get to the bathroom in time. So it's like, and my kids know now, kind of like you said, Bean knows, like, you're like, you have to go, you know, you have to go to the bathroom again. I'm like, yeah. And we're not like doing bathroom shaming. Like if I have to go, we're going. Same as if you guys need to go, we're going. There's no shame in having to go to the bathroom multiple times. Like it is what it is. And I'm going to Italy in March. Well, me and the family are. So I have been prepping myself to how I'm going to like be comfortable to get, you know, through this, you know, trip with multiple bathrooms. Cause I'm like, okay, can we, you know, are there public bathrooms? Like we're going to have to go into a cafe and buy something, you know, to be able to use the restroom. Like we're going to be on a tour bus. Luckily the tour bus has a bathroom. Like, you know, are we going to have access to bathrooms when we're in a customs line? All these little things that, having Crohn's disease has made me think about, like just always knowing where the bathroom is. That has sucked the most, I feel like, because that has given me so much anxiety. I talked to my Crohn's doctor about it. I've talked to my therapist about it. He actually just gave me a new medication that's supposed to help with the urgency. And it's like a powder, and I don't remember the name of it. Starts with the C, but you put it in water and drink it, and it's supposed to help with the urgency, and it is the worst. I'm like gonna message him. It's the taste. It's just
it doesn't
dissolve well in the water, so you're drinking like this grainy, powdery. It's terrible. It's like I want to throw up. I'm like I don't think it's working. So I'm gonna see. Hopefully there's.
But does it work though?
I don't think it is. No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm like, I'm not going to keep doing it if it's not, if I don't see this, you know, huge change. And I'm like trying to play around with it, like have it before a meal when I know that like I might need to go, you know, something that would like, you know, that's not great for my stomach. And I just don't see this progress with it. So I'm like, I'm not going to keep taking it.
Do they ever suggest actually just anxiety medication?
Oh, I am on anxiety medication.
But is it because of that? Is it supposed to, is there a link between just like anxiety another person would have and like anxiety linked to the autoimmune response?
I don't know if it's linked to the autoimmune response or linked to the fact that you have this disease that creates a lot of anxiety for you. You know, just having it, you have a lot of anxiety. I don't know if there's so much a link as those two, or it's more just a mental thing. Like you're just anxious because of it.
And does that help? Does that help to have just like a regular like Lexapro or Zoloft?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I take Lexapro daily. I have for like a year now because
only a year.
Yeah.
I've been on the stuff for a lot longer than that, but that's, I have different symptoms.
I mean, it kind of runs in my family a bit, like anxiety. And then like last year, around Christmas, I started having panic attacks, like really bad, like, and freaked out, and they were terrible. So I went on it, and it's helped, and it's great. And I started talking to a therapist like every 2 weeks. Well, now I'm 2 weeks, but I was talking to him every week, and that helps. But yeah, I think having, you know, those issues, taking something and talking to someone is not a bad idea. I think talking to a therapist anyways for people who don't have issues is not a bad idea, but everyone has issues. What am I saying?
Well, Crohn's disease, it feels like it is like you are having an autoimmune response, whereas like IBS, there are a lot of people that only have IBS when they have anxiety.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people have like when they go through bouts of anxiety, then they have the diarrhea and stuff.
Okay.
The urgency. And then it goes away.
Yes.
Like, it can go away forever.
And it does. And it does with Crohn's too for that. Because I did talk to my doctor about that last time, telling him when I'm stressed out, I have diarrhea all day. If the more stressed I get, it messes up my stomach. So maybe there is somewhat of a link there. I don't know.
What was the most stressful for me? And I performed for a long time, and I tell my girlfriends because they're like, why aren't you performing? And I'm like, honestly, it's the gut stuff. Because putting, like, sometimes you don't have control over what kind of, like, costume they put you in. They put me in a white unitard sometimes and a white silk. I am so anxious by that point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, scary.
You're like, oh my God. And you're not even worried about the aerial at that point.
Yeah.
You're like, it's like the last thing on your mind. I have a friend who did this gig where they did white hammocks and white unitards, and they put them in the open hammock and they laid in there waiting for their cue. I think the wait was a half an hour because they had to, they had to drop in and they had to be set before the stage opened, before the curtain opened. So like they were in their costumes, up in the ceiling rafters for a half an hour. And my friend was telling me, Sarah Manofsky was telling me that like, there are so many responses to that of the other artists. Like one girl's period started. It's like, of course, one person fell asleep up there.
Just be a mess. I would be a
like,
mess.
I don't even know what to say. Like I would have had a panic attack. I'd be crying.
Yeah.
Regardless of what my stomach was doing, I'd be crying for sure.
Right. And I'm not, you're not even worried about the, like you said, the aerial at that point, like you're stressing. that you could have a problem, and then your stress is creating your stomach to freak out, and it's
and then your nerves are like your nervous system starts going haywire, and then you're going to create a problem, right?
Yeah.
So like, I was on tour, the last tour that I was on with Motley Crue, and we were sharing a bus with like crew dudes. So it was like four female dancers and then a bunch of crew dudes, and these guys were the worst and the best. Like they will kill somebody for you, but they will give you a hard time about everything. It's those type of dudes, like, you know, tatted up and like giving you a hard time all the time, but then secretly they'll defend you.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to go number two on the bus.
Yeah.
No number two on a bus, because it creates smells. And, and honestly, like, you got a bunch of crew dudes, you don't really want to smell their smells either.
Yeah.
But like, oh my God, I was so stressed out because we would be on the bus the whole night.
Yeah, I know. That's what they told us about the tour failure. Like, yeah, there's a bathroom, but you don't really want to like poop in the bathroom. I'm like, well, okay, if that has to happen, it's going to happen, you know, like, and they have like that poopery spray now, you know, so I've got like that in my purse. Like, I'll have one handy, like, spray before you go, if I have enough time to even do that, you know. Sometimes it's,
right,
there's not, you're not thinking, so you just have to go.
Sometimes you're like, pull these pants down, yeah, and get
all
there.
That's all that you have. So, but yeah, I'm like, you know, there's only so much I can do. There's only so much I can control. And like, I can't worry about like what other people are thinking, because it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think when you have something like this, you get to the point where your embarrassment level goes way down, because you're just like, well, this isn't my fault. This is something that I have to deal with. I have to make the best of it.
Yeah.
The other thing that they have now in Japan, they have this, you know how culturally Japanese people are very like, I don't want to get demure. Like, what's the word? Like, they don't want to stick up the whole bathroom, right? Mm-hmm. They have this thing that you drop in the toilet, and it works like the other one, but it seals the top of the water.
Oh, that's cool. Can you get it?
It seals
the
top.
Can you get it sent from Japan? How do you get this thing?
I'm sure you can. I'm sure they make it here, but it was just like, I heard about it in Japan.
Ah.
So you drop into the water, and it smells nice, and then it creates like a seal, like, I don't know what kind of barrier film on top of the water. You poo, and then it doesn't
smell
out of the
toilet. I'm
going to
research it. That might be good to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, right? Nice. So they have that. But okay, so last question. Since you started your aerial practice, you have been in remission. Is there any way in which being in the air, being on these apparatuses, and the Crohn's disease kind of mixed together in a different way? Or is it just maybe the same as me, whereas where I might have an episode and I just have to like go home and rest?
Kind of. I mean, I've been in remission, so I felt pretty good. I go to the bathroom a lot, especially like if I'm nervous about something, like if we're going to do something new that's a little scary to me, like I might go to the bathroom ahead of time, like just to make sure, like, you know, that everything's okay. But I go to the bathroom a lot during class.
I don't notice. Maybe it's because I have 12.
Yeah, you and it.
I'm adult,
like,
toddlers,
I'm not broadcasting
around.
It, you know, I'm just slipping off into the bathroom when nobody's paying attention. But yeah, I don't know. And sometimes I take Imodium too, like if I feel like my stomach's kind of funky.
Does that help?
Yes. Yeah. And it does help for sure. So I always, when I'm going places, I have Imodium with me. Like, I'll take it, and I plan to take it to Italy. Like, I talked to my doctor. I'm like, is it safe to take this much? Is it okay to take it in advance of like having diarrhea? Like, can I take it before? And he's like, it's no problem. So I do that. And it helps with my nerves too. Like,
yeah, because you know that there's something helping your system out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm planning in advance. Like, if I'm really nervous, I'm really worked up about something, I know that I'm going to stress, and then I'll probably have diarrhea. So I'll just take it before, and it does totally help.
And does it kind of mess you up later? Like, do you get Mm-mm. Constipation later?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Because my IBS kind of changed to the type that is both now, which is so fun to have constipation and diarrhea. But again, mine is way better than it was. Like, it's way better than it was. But yeah, and your body changes. Mm-hmm. Your body changes and it shifts. I have another student who has Crohn's disease that is not in remission.
Really?
And I see her twice a week, maybe once a week. And she has a membership at the studio. And there's a lot of times where she will just not show up. And I know that's why.
Well, if you ever want to tell her my name, if she wants to talk to someone about Crohn's, feel free to do it. Because it's always interesting when you find somebody who has it. Everyone's experiences with it are always a little bit different. The foods they can have are a bit different. And
you know what I love about most of the women that come on here is that you've gone through the fire. Like, there's so much confidence, and you do not, there's no F's given at all.
I mean,
I love it.
There can't be. There can't be at this point. You know, as much as you've gone through and all the poop you've gone through, like, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just out there.
Like, why would you fear anything? You've already done the worst.
That's what I say. I'm like, hopefully this is my trial in life. Like, my big health trial, it's this. I'm like, hopefully I'm not, like, getting anything else. Like, please, like, just make it this.
I like that.
Hey, you're feeling better? Yes. Look at this one feeling better.
Yeah.
Yay. We still can't go do anything fun. I'm sorry. We have to chill today.
Oh, man.
And your kiddos are home from school. Like, this hour, no one's bursted through the door. Like, you're going to go and check on them right now and make sure everybody is okay.
Yeah, I can hear them. They're watching a movie. So, and like, the older ones, they were up all night. So they slept until they were almost, I got on here, they were still sleeping. So they're just, and they're older, Carrie. They're, you know, they're fine.
Oh my God. I keep on hearing about this, like, children who can do things on their own. Yeah. I don't even.
It'll happen. Yeah.
Harvey, we appreciate you. I am going to call this the poo-poo episode, Crohn's disease with Nicole Harvey.
Sounds good.
All right. See you in class.
All right.
Soon.
See you Sunday. Bye. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Oh my goodness. It was the poo-poo episode of all poo-poo episodes. And I'm here for it. You know, if you're having problems with poos out there, do you feel seen or what? Harvey, thank you so much for being here and telling us about it. I love that you give zero F's.
Here I am.
You want to sing for the ladies?
You guys were doing it out me after I was doing something.
Yeah, you got busy and then we kept on recording. Yeah. So Harvey, I appreciate you for coming on here and like just giving us the real. It's amazing. Yes. And then wrap your head around Silk's one level one teacher training coming up starting April 1st, fully virtual this time. Check it out. And I would love to work with you. Roll It Out is on Mondays and Thursdays. It's a subscription. It is not expensive. It is so good if you take advantage of it. And I'd love to get to know you. If you would please honor me with a 5-star rating and review, it helps so much. And if you want to check out the Greener Grass podcast with me and Kelly McVeigh, just if you want to hear my voice even more. All right, guys. It has been a great time hanging out with you guys. I appreciate you tuning in. Thanks for being here. All right, guys. Over and out. This is Carrie from Wrap Your Head and Round Silks. Oh, my goodness. This bean is talking in the back the whole time. This is The Expected Breakfast.